Welcome to the Connected Leadership Podcast by Zentano, for forward-thinking leaders who want to lead with confidence, clarity, and impact. We bring you grounded wisdom, real stories from real leaders, conversations that leave you thinking differently, feeling inspired, and ready to act. Let's dive in. So welcome once again to the Connected Leadership Podcast by Zentano. And this is the final episode in our Confidence in Leadership series. Now, over this series, Rich and I have explored confidence through various lenses: experience, pressure, presence, identity, influence, and last time, personality traits. Today, we're going to go one layer deeper, because there comes a point in leadership where confidence can't just come from performance or capability, or even, dare I say it, self-belief. So, Rich, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Dave. Thank you.
My opening question to you, I guess, based on what I've just said, is what happens when the usual sources of confidence just aren't enough anymore?
Yeah, so if you think about the challenges that leaders experience, one of those would be ambiguity. Mm-hmm. So there are decisions to be made, and there's no clear and obvious answer to a decision that needs to be made. Ambiguity is very common, and it becomes much more pertinent at senior levels. So that would be one thing.
Okay.
I think often as well, and again, it becomes more pertinent at senior level, is there are moral trade-offs associated with decision-making.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you think about, you know, a decision that leaders have to make, say, around redundancy, mm-hmm. You know, there are some difficult moral decisions to make around that. You know, to what degree do you safeguard the company versus, you know, safeguarding people and being fair to the people that you employ, you know, because, you know, you want to reward loyalty and hard work and all of that sort of stuff. But sometimes, for the greater good of the organization, you need to make a different decision. And that involves a moral trade-off, for example.
Absolutely.
I think also in the context of leadership, you know, something that really challenges somebody's confidence, it's quite lonely to be at the top and at the very top of an organisation. I've personally, obviously apart from Zentano, not been at the very top of an organisation, but I've been quite a senior level. But even then, you're making decisions that's going to affect your team, you know, some of the your peers around you, and that can feel quite lonely, and you can feel very responsible for those decisions, and that can impact confidence.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing is that you can experience failure or criticism, and there's not necessarily any sort of clear resolution to those issues, you know. So you know, you've only got yourself to go to sometimes when you fail, or actually you receive criticism from those people around you. You know, you have to be able to resolve that yourself.
Yeah, and the more visible you are, so if you take, as you said, people at the very top of organisations, or, you know, the obvious one is politicians who are in the public eye every day. Yeah. I mean, you get to that level of visibility, you're right. I mean, there is no clear resolution for a lot of these issues. You know, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. But actually, as you said, that failure, or more likely that criticism that's constantly pushed your way, and there will be in the modern world plenty of it. Yeah. It must be really hard for anybody to keep a stable level of confidence in that scenario.
I think I might have mentioned this before in a previous podcast, probably a while ago now, but I remember there was one particular difficult decision I had to make that involved that sort of moral trade-off, you know, basically choosing between, you know, two technologies and two teams. And one team, well, either team, actually, whatever decision I made, we're not going to be happy.
No.
You know?
No.
So whatever decision I made, neither team were going to be happy, or one of the teams weren't going to be happy. And as a result of that, actually, there was one person who blanked me in the corridor for the following number of years. You know? So, and in, in actually the criticism or implied criticism from that decision was quite difficult to live with, frankly.
It's interesting because I've also had to do that in recent years. It involved a family member. So the decision I had to make for the good of an organization directly impacted a family member. My sort of moral compass, if you like, my guiding ultimate decision is what is right for the organization, not is what right for me or my family. Yeah. So I did make the decision that I felt was right for the organization. And as you said, that created some really awkward scenarios to deal with thereafter. But I think that you have to have that almost like that guiding compass to say, actually, when we face these things and confidence will wane in those, if you're not careful in those situations, come back to what is right for my business, for the organization. That's quite an important thing to think to bear in mind.
Yeah. So I think the question we're trying to explore in the context of this podcast is how do you make those difficult decisions, you know, with those moral trade-offs or, you know, you feel lonely or, you know, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. How do you make those decisions from a place where, from a place of true confidence, I think.
Yeah. And I guess if we sort of move this on a little bit, you know, there's a kind of a hidden contract that a lot of us live by, which is I'm confident as long as I'm performing well in my job or I'm performing well in my, you know, whatever it is you want to perform well in. Yeah. So I guess my first question to you is, why is performance-based confidence so common in leadership particularly? Now, why is that a common thing?
I think what typically happens in organisations, particularly organisations that have a technical focus, is people who've been very good at the technical part of their job and been very successful at the technical part of their job. It's almost seen as an expectation that you promote those highly successful technical people who are expertise in their field into a leadership position. And, you know, there is some sense in that because, you know, you want people in senior positions in organisations that have a sense of, you know, their expertise matches what the organisation is trying to do. So that's important. But, you know, leadership, the skills around leadership are very different than just technical expertise.
Yeah.
You know, leadership is much more than that. So when people get promoted from a technical position into a leadership position, you know, all of that experience, that knowledge base, that capability, all that success that they've had, what's got them to that point is not necessarily going to serve them so well in the context of leadership because the challenges are very different.
Do you think, though, some of the reasons why that happens? I remember I come from a professional sales background, as you know, and many listeners that know me will know. Others won't know that. So that's a bit of context for you. So in professional sales, you know, it was quite common to promote people into sales management roles, you know, if they were good at selling. But at the point you're just making is that isn't necessarily the only reason that you promote them, because I've also seen lots of people who went down that route weren't very good at managing teams. What they were really good at was being a good salesperson. So maybe we need to define a different version of what performance means and what, you know, actually, as you said, leadership and technical capability are two different things.
Yeah. And I think also that leaders are conditioned to believe that confidence comes from, can't think of the quite the right word, but confidence comes from winning, if you like.
Yeah.
Comes from success. And confidence also comes from, you know, being approved by others, having validation from those around you. So those things are not unimportant because we build confidence in our capability, in our competence, if you like, from receiving feedback and getting validation from others. But if your confidence is built on just that, it's going to be fragile. So what we're trying to explore in our version of confidence, and we explore this on our online confidence pathway that we're just making live right now, is actually confidence is more than just performative and based on competence. It has this axis of what we call self-worth. And we need to pull ourselves back to what we call the connected center. So you're operating from a true sense of humility. But what we're going to explore in this podcast is actually operating from this place of integrity. So when you're making decisions, connecting yourself to your values, your sense of purpose, that sort of stuff is more important than rooting yourself in the expertise that you've picked up in your past career.
So, Rich, I think based on what you've just said, if I can just summarise for the listeners and for my own benefit here, what you're saying is that many leaders are conditioned to believe that they're confident when they're winning, or they're confident when they're getting approval from other people.
Yes,
The problem with that is it creates all sorts of unwanted outcomes. So we get a bit fragile under failure, or we react badly to feedback. That comparison and ego protection kicks in. And that's going to, over time, erode your presence, your integrity, and ultimately, as you said, your confidence is going to take a massive dip, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
So performance-based confidence works until it stops working.
Until it stops working, that's right, yeah. And actually, you don't want to root your confidence in that. You know, that's the whole point of the confidence pathway that we've created, is we're trying to create confidence that is grounded, stable, and secure, and rooted in true humility, and rooted in integrity.
Yeah, so what we want leaders to do is stop managing your image in these situations and dive deeper and find something more robust that you can lean on.
Yes,
Where my next question is going to go for you, Rich, really. So let's introduce the concept of values-based leadership as that deeper source of confidence. So my first question is, how do values change the confidence conversation for people?
So if you go back to some of the scenarios that I explored earlier on in our conversation. So when leaders come across situations where actually it's highly ambiguous, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't, and that there's sort of moral things that you have to balance around decision making, you can't make rules-based decisions, binary decisions, in those situations. Mm-hmm. So if you take a values-based approach, so you understand what's important to you. You understand the values that drive the way you behave and the way you make decisions. It means that actually you can be more secure in the decisions that you make in those ambiguous situations. Because, in other words, you're acting from a place of integrity, and what you believe is important for the organisation, important for the team, important for the world, actually, if you want to take it, you know, bit beyond the organisation. So it's connecting you to something beyond yourself. So your confidence shifts from being outcome-based to being character-based. Virtue-based, if you like.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from. And I think that example I gave, where I had to make that really tough decision for the good of the organisation, but it affected a member of my family, therefore affected my relationship with that member of my family. Mm. You could argue that, okay, on one level, you made that decision because you wanted the approval of everybody in the organisation that you'd done the right thing. That wasn't why I did it, but you could argue that. Mm-hmm. It actually was much deeper than that, the reason I did it, and it was to do with my own set of personal core values, where I believe that my role in that organisation, I still believe to this day, because I've still got that role, is to do the right thing for the greater good of everybody in that organisation.
Because
I would want someone to do the same thing for me if I was being affected. So I think it does come back to that. I think you've called our core values before, something like our internal compass. It's the things that orientates us when we need a bit of help.
Yeah, I guess I could give another example from my own personal experience. I remember, you know, working in organisations where sometimes decision making could be very silo based. You know, so it's all about protecting our own little fiefdoms. One of my values is actually, I believe in a more collectivist approach to leadership and a more collaborative approach, building relationships and building partners across boundaries. So I made decisions that forced us to collaborate beyond our silo boundaries, and sometimes that was unpopular. But even though it's unpopular, because it was a values-based decision, and I took confidence from the fact that I believed this to be the right thing for this situation. And you could argue the toss, you know, whether, you know, some people might have a different view, and they did. Mm. But actually, because it's a values-based decision, I was able to stick to my decision and say, no, I believe this is the right thing to do for the greater good of this team and the greater good of the organisation.
So what do you think values-based confidence actually looks like for a leader? Because I totally agree. This is definitely the right way to root your confidence. But what does it actually feel like for a leader?
So I think if you make values-based decisions and your confidence is values-based, I think you'll feel less defensive because you're grounded in that deep, you know, in that deep internal compass, if you like. Mm-hmm. So you'll be less defensive. I think you'll recover more quickly from failure, you know, because, you know, you believe that you did the right thing in that situation. So the outcomes were great, but you believed actually, given what you knew at the time, you made the right decision based on your values.
And it might not be failure, Rich. It might not be failure. It could be just a setback that is no fault of your own.
Yeah. Okay.
Still bounce back from the setback as well.
Yes. Yeah. And I think you can tolerate disapproval as well.
Absolutely.
Readily. Going back to that experience, I said about, you know, the person blanking me in the corridor for years. You know, they literally did. I still believe that the decision I made was the correct decision.
Same here. I had the same thing from the family member who, you know, did make it known, I think, to me they weren't happy. Yeah. But it never bothered me. I got to be honest with you, it didn't ever bother me because I knew I'd made the right decision it was values-based.
And it's there's a fine line between being certain around the decision you make and arrogance.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
So I believe that arrogance is not rooted in values and a sense of purpose, you
agreed,
know. So
agreed. Yeah.
You know, arrogance is very performative. Arrogance is often rooted in wanting unconsciously to gain the approval of others around you, perhaps. So we're talking about something much deeper here, which gives you a sense of deep-rooted confidence. So it doesn't mean that, you know, after you've made a decision, you can look back in it and think, maybe I could have made a different decision. But actually, you believe that decision you made, based on the values that you had, was right for that time in that place.
It's interesting because a lot of businesses, you know, measure their success through KPIs, a scorecard, whatever you want to call it. I think when we start to make these more values-based decisions and we root our confidence in values, the confidence doesn't ebb and flow or rise and fall anywhere near as much, does it? Because we know we've made the right decision for the right reason.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about purpose as a confidence anchor, because I think that's a really important thing to explore as well as values. So purpose, you know, is I think a bit of a stabilizer for confidence, and I'd like to explore that with you. So why does purpose matter so much for a rooted, grounded sense of confidence?
I think it's very similar to values, actually, in essence. That what having a clear sense of purpose means, and when we say that, you know, it doesn't mean that you have to have a grandiose sense of, you know, this is what drives my entire life, and it might do, but it might not do. But it's about connecting the decisions you make to something beyond yourself.
Okay.
You know, so it's not about making decisions to validate my ego, you know, to validate my fiefdom and to build my, you know, my little empire. Mm. Actually, what you're doing is connecting what you're trying to do for your team and for the organization beyond yourself. I mean, if you think about our connected leadership model, one of the elements on our connected leadership model are three concentric circles. And we've talked about this in previous podcasts. So the first concentric circle is leading self.
Yeah.
The second concentric circle is leading your team, and the third is leading your organization, and then beyond that you get community. Okay. Now the reason those three concentric circles are so important, because performative confidence, I think, puts those circles the other way round.
You know,
it makes the self is the outer circle. So in other words, it's all about me.
Yeah.
It's all about, you know, it's all about my ego, and it's all about my empire. Mm. And actually, we reverse that and say, actually, you know, you understand that you work inside a system, and you serve the greater needs of the organization, and you connect your team to the needs of the organization.
Mm.
So you get your team to look beyond your team, connect what you do to your team and connect what the team do to the organization. And even, you know, if you're a very senior person, connecting what your organization does for the benefits of the community and society. So having that sense of purpose means your decision making then takes you out of yourself, and you make decisions where the need for approval and, you know, demonstrating your, you know, your worth to those around you, it becomes less performative. It's about doing the right thing for the organization and community.
I think if you reflect back on your career, I was certainly reflecting back on my career as we've been doing this series, and maybe when I was a lot younger and a lot less self-aware, did I have a slightly more ego-based approach to things? I think the answer would probably be yes. But what I realised, when I realised that actually, no, my whole sense of leading, and it's the same as yours, is about collaboration. I believe in collaboration is the best way of doing things. I think that does get you to see things from a different perspective, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And then you automatically start to make less ego-based decisions or ego-based drivers.
So seeing beyond your team, seeing almost like beyond your organization, and then making those decisions, it doesn't necessarily mean that it makes decision making easier, but it makes it steadier, you know, because if your decisions are based around your ego and the need for approval, you're going to flip-flop all over the place. But if you're making decisions based on your values, based on your sense of purpose, based on something beyond yourself, that's going to be steadier. It doesn't make decision-making easier per se, but it makes it steadier.
Yeah, and it also means, I think, if you have a clearer sense of purpose, that you're less threatened by challenge. You don't make every single setback personal to you, because it's not going to be it. And you can probably absorb a bit more pressure without collapsing in on yourself, which... You know, if your confidence is fragile, potentially all of those three things I've just said can happen. So I think that phrase you used just now, purpose doesn't make leadership easier, but it makes it steadier, is a really nice little way of summing that up. Let's move the conversation on once again to a concept that we've talked about before on the podcast, and that's Daniel Pink's version of what motivates people in the workplace.
Yes.
So I want to talk about confidence that comes from motivation. And he talked about motivation being about autonomy, mastery, and purpose. So how do autonomy, mastery, and purpose shape confidence, Rich? What's your view of that?
Okay. So one important thing to say about Daniel Goleman, and I think he's added something really important to leadership thinking. He's talked about motivation, and he talks about intrinsic versus extrinsic motivation. And if you think about intrinsic versus extrinsic motivation, it relates very clearly to the model that we're trying to promote in terms of our confidence model. Because, you know, what he's saying is the best sort of motivation comes from where you're intrinsically motivated.
Yeah.
So that doesn't mean extrinsic motivators are unimportant, you know, though, you know, rewarding people, paying people for a good day's work, that those are important factors. But if motivation is just extrinsically based, it's going to be very fragile. So I think healthy confidence and intrinsic motivation are very closely linked. So Daniel Pink talks about autonomy, mastery, and purpose. So if you give people autonomy and freedom to make their own decisions, I think confidence naturally grows from people feeling authorship over their decisions and the ability to use their own set of values, if you like. So so we're not talking here of freedom from responsibility when we're talking about autonomy, but what we're saying is we're giving people ownership of the decisions that they make. And, you know, so they can build their competence and their capability based on that feeling of ownership.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that feeds a healthy sense of confidence. On our confidence model, we talk about one of the continuums being the competence continuum. Mm. So I think the autonomy that Daniel Pink talks about is building healthy competence. Okay.
And if you're a sort of leader that micromanages, don't expect to have a lot of confident people underneath you.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. I think mastery is important. So Daniel Pink talks about autonomy mastery. So mastery is not about just proving you're the best and building competence and capability where you're the best. So it shifts from being, am I good enough, to am I growing? So I think actually when Daniel Pink talks about mastery, he's talking about essentially a growth mindset.
Yes.
So having a healthy relationship with your strengths and your abilities, a balanced view of that, which is related to our true sense of humility. So you have this growth mindset where you build your capability and then that builds a healthy sense of self-worth associated with that. But it comes from a growth mindset.
And then
the final thing, so he talks about autonomy, mastery and purpose, and we've talked already at length about purpose. I don't think I need to add anything more to that. But when all those three elements are in play in your team and in yourself, you'll create a culture that's naturally going to grow intrinsic motivation and build healthy confidence.
So I think there's a load of key points you could pull out of that, but one thing that sort of leaps out for me, Rich, and it is based on one of my own personal core values, actually, is that the importance of continual learning, that curiosity to say, you know, I'm not the finished article, I never will be, so what do I need to know that I don't know now? What do I think I know that I could be wrong? That kind of questioning mindset that keeps you, I guess, stepping out of your comfort zone fairly regularly and stretching yourself.
Yes, yes.
It's really important for confidence, isn't it? It really is.
Mm. It is, yeah.
So I guess this is a sort of key maturity moment in terms of what we've been talking about here. And I would like to take it even a stage further based on what you talked about earlier on, which is those concentric circles in our model. So leading self, leading team, leading within your organization, but even leading beyond that into the communities that you serve beyond you. Yeah. Mm. So I'd like to talk about or explore with you more reframing confidence as not being about self-focus, but about serving the system in which you operate in. Yeah. So how does leadership that serves the needs of others change the dynamics around confidence?
Yeah. So for me, this is about balancing your needs with other people's needs and with the needs of the organisation and the needs of society as well and community.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what I'm not talking about here, so servant leadership is the antidote to selfishness and ego, and ego running wild, if you like. But what servant leadership is not is like an unhealthy sort of victim, self-sacrifice, people-pleasing mentality.
Yeah, no, I get that. Yeah.
So it's not that, but it's leading from this place where actually, you know, you believe actually serving the needs of others and the organisation and connecting what you do to that is a much better place to lead from. So you're serving the needs of others and you're not scheming, you know. So I sometimes talk about good leaders serve, but they don't scheme.
Well, a good example of that, a good example of that in the modern world, and it's becoming more and more pertinent. I was at an event yesterday where somebody was talking about this, is this whole concept of social value and how as leaders we create social value. Mm-hmm. Because that's what you're talking about, isn't it? Is what do we do for the greater good of everybody and not just the people that work in our organisation? So I know some businesses now, and there was a lady yesterday talking about this, who give staff time off in a working year, so maybe a couple of days a year, something like that, to go and do something where they add some social value, you know, volunteering work, you know, that could be an example of that. I think that's what you're talking about here.
Yeah. And so what we're saying here, that when you have this servant mentality, and I don't mean victim mentality, servant mentality.
Yeah.
Leadership stops being about ego protection. It stops being about status, protecting your status, protecting the status of your little empire, your team or your organization. It's not about being right. It becomes more about stewardship, long-term impact, and doing what the community, the organization, and your team needs. So if you make decisions from that basis, I mean, that's naturally going to mean that, again, you know, going back to the point I was made earlier, your confidence becomes much steadier and healthier. It doesn't make decision-making necessarily easier, but it makes it steadier again.
Yeah. And I guess one of the things, therefore, we have to bear in mind here, if what you've just said there, if confidence stops being about you and it's therefore less fragile because it, you know, you're making it about something much bigger, we have to make the effort to connect with the people around us, and we have to make the effort to connect with the environment around us, which I think is a problem in modern society. You know, there's not maybe as much of that as there used to be. So if you're listening to this thinking, well, my confidence sometimes does dip, or I'm now in that situation, just ask yourself a question. Are you connecting as much as you should and with the people around you and to, you know, the environment around you, to nature, to your community?
Yeah, yeah.
I think that is fundamentally really important.
Yeah. And I would, I'm going to be careful about how I phrase this, but I would relate true confidence to what I call true and healthy spirituality. So I'm not talking religious rules-based mindset here. You know, true and healthy spirituality connects us to something beyond ourselves, where we serve the greater needs of our organization and community. And for those of you, you know, that have a very faith-based approach to your life, actually connecting to something beyond that as well. And I think that's really deep-rooted and can be very grounding. So spirituality will mean different things for different people listen to this podcast, and you and I have slightly different views on that. But actually thinking about rooting your confidence in something beyond yourself, whatever that means for you, I think is really important for healthy confidence.
Do you know what? Just yesterday I had a conversation about this. I was at a networking event, and it was like one of these speed networking events where you get 6 minutes with somebody. And like, and Alan Muscat, who was on our podcast a couple of weeks ago, about breath. So there was a lady with him who I'd never met before, and we ended up being on this speed networking line. And we were having this conversation. So in this, we only had 6 minutes, as I say, but she was talking about, you know, what she does for a living, and I asked her why she did it. And she was talking about, you know, she feels like she's a very spiritual person. And I said, that's interesting, because I think many years ago, I would have not classed myself as a spiritual person. I would have probably made those connotations that that's about religion. And as you know, I'm not a regular, I don't go to church. It's not that I don't think religion's a good thing. It's just not the thing I need for my life. But I would have railed against that word. But actually, in recent years, I've realized I think I am a spiritual person. And what I mean by that is I am very driven by my core values, by my sense of purpose, by the need to serve a greater good than just myself. And I think I've reframed what I think spirituality means, and I've reframed it in a very positive way. And maybe that's a question for anybody listening to this who thinks, well, spiritual leadership, that's not really a thing I want to get involved in. Maybe have a little think.
Maybe you do. Because we, you know, the two of us have had some quite deep conversations around that, and you know, we have a very different perspective around faith and spirituality. But the way that plays out for us is, you know, true confidence comes from connecting to something beyond yourself, and to really think about what that means for you. And I think that's more healthy for society as well. If you have a society that's less selfish, and, you know, more connected to the needs of the team, the needs of the organisation, the needs of the community, and even beyond that, I mean, surely that's going to make for a better world, in my view, anyway.
No, I totally agree. And I think we're being purposely provocative here because, you know, the words like spirituality in a leadership podcast are going to, for some people, going to be a little bit, ooh, I'm not sure. But actually, we're being purposely provocative because I think what you've just said is I totally sign up to that. I think that's exactly right. So I guess, Rich, talking about reflection, if there's somebody listening to this today and they want to reflect because they think, actually, they're making some really interesting points here that I probably ought to sort of pay some attention to, where should they start?
Yeah. So perhaps I'll ask some questions. You know, some of these questions are based on the online confidence pathway that we've designed. So I'll just give you a little flavour of the sort of questions that we ask. So the first question I'd ask is, what do you rely on for confidence right now? Is it very performative? Is it the need for approval of those around you? You know, is it the need to validate your own sort of self-worth, or, you know, need to be the best? Mm-hmm. That they're probably not good places to base your confidence from. Mm-hmm. Then ask yourself the question, what shakes my confidence the most, and what are those situations and triggers that do that?
You know, absolutely.
So think about that. So when you've had to think about that, then think about, what are the values that drive me? Now, as part of our pathway, we get people to explore more deeply what their values are, because I think it's important that if you're going to develop a values-based leadership, is not to do that unconsciously, because we will inherit values from our upbringing, from our parents, from, you know, organizations and schools and churches and all of those sorts of things. Hmm. And some of those might be helpful values and some of them might not be helpful values. So I think values-based leadership is based on having taken the time to reflect on what's important to you as a human being. You know, what do you want to... what mark do you want to make on the world? Mm. And then when you're clear about what your values and what are important to you, that gives you a really healthy grounding for grounding your confidence from, you know, acting from that place of integrity. And I think the final question to ask is, who or what am I ultimately serving in my leadership?
That's interesting. Yeah. And even if you're a listener, here today who hasn't got a formal leadership position, you could still answer that question, you know.
Yes, absolutely.
If you're a parent, effectively you're a leader. If, you know, there's lots of different roles that are probably a little bit more unofficial leadership roles that we serve in life, but the same question matters, doesn't it, that you just asked.
Yeah. I guess the final thing I would say is sometimes a lot of unhealthy confidence is very effort driven. You know,
right.
striving to be the best, you know, striving to compensate for our fragile sort of sense of self-worth. I think true and healthy confidence comes through alignment and not effort.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay,
so I think for today, Rich, that's probably all we need to say. Mm-hmm. I think as we close this series down, and we, you know, we may do a series on a slightly different version of confidence later in the year, but certainly for now, I'm struck by how far this conversation on confidence over the 8 episodes has taken us. Because if you just think about it, we've gone from experience and pressure through presence, identity, influence, personality, and now today we've talked about the importance of values and purpose and serving others. That's a pretty wide series of touch points, isn't it?
Yeah.
So there's one message I think I take away from all that, and it's this: confidence isn't just something you build; it's something you root yourself in.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I'll just say that again for anybody listening: confidence is not something you just build; it's something you root yourself in.
Yeah, it's what we call the connected center in our confidence pathway.
Yeah. So, Rich, first thing I'd like to say to you is thank you so much for bringing your expertise to this, because for anybody who doesn't know, Rich did study confidence and self-esteem as part of his dissertation. I think you've brought a real level of knowledge and expertise to these conversations, and also for sharing your personal experiences, because I know you've been very candid about your own personal journey with confidence. And I think all of that you've brought to these conversations is really going to help other people. I know it does, because I get comments from listeners that I speak to. It helps them really understand what's going on for them. So I thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
To everyone listening, and wherever you are in your leadership journey, we hope this series has helped you start to gain some clarity and start to understand how to feel steadier and more grounded in how you lead. If anyone here has got any appetite for more, as Rich said, we have our Forwards for Inner Confidence program now available. So please contact Rich or I. You can go through our contact page at www.zentanogroup.com and ask for more details. You can also find Rich and I on LinkedIn. So please, if you want to do more work on yourself and find out more about that, please get in touch. But Rich, I'd just like you to have the final say in this. What's sort of the one insight you'd like to share from your own journey with confidence?
I think probably the biggest aha moment for me in my leadership is don't try and pretend to be somebody else. So, you know, root myself in, you know, in what I'm good at, what I'm not good at. be honest about that and don't try to be like somebody else.
Brilliant.
You know, true confidence comes in, you know, knowing yourself and rooting your confidence in that and then connecting that to beyond yourself.
Lovely. Great. That's a lovely insight. Thank you, Rich. And thank you, everybody else. And we'll be back with a new series on a different topic very soon.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. If today's episode has struck a chord, please share it with someone that you might know that might need to hear it. Please give us a 5-star rating on your podcast channel because this really helps us to get reach and inspire more leaders. Every week we send out a newsletter called Foresight, containing top tips from each episode. There's also a book recommendation, a thought to reflect on, and some practical takeaways that you can apply in your day-to-day life. Visit zentanogroup.com/podcast, add your name to our mailing list. But for today, thank you for listening.